Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Julieta Talevi, and joining me in studio this evening are the Wednesday night duo, David Shapiro from Sassman Securities and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. If you'd like to send us questions, please do. You can SMS us 41392. You can email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or you can tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. David, Wayne, good evening. I have to say, we feel like a football in the ball in
one
the
day,
game.
One day life is wonderful. The very next day it's terrible.
It's terrible. Today is okay. It's better than it was yesterday. I mean, you know, there seemed to be a fairly broad-based recovery today, notwithstanding the iron ore price coming off quite dramatically. So what was behind the better mood, shall we say?
This is unfortunately symptomatic of some sort of change in the direction of stock markets or global economy. I mean, the global economy is slowing down. So you're going to get good days and good news and bad news. But, I mean, I'm not predicting a disaster, and I sincerely hope it doesn't happen. But the good days are clearly behind us as far as the world's economy is concerned and the stock market. I mean, the good days are behind us.
Although, I mean, you know, then you see, I think there were some retail sales that came out of the United States. People are still shopping. And you think, well, this can't be an economy in such crisis.
No, but remember, the growth rate is slowing down. There's no crisis yet, no matter what you read or hear. There's no crisis yet in America. Could be.
You know, Julieta, and this is where Trump is to blame, because the global economy was slowing down. You know, if you watch the IMF, if you believe the IMF, you've got whether it was 3.7, 3.8, and they keep downgrading it. Why? Not because of the U.S., but because of worries about Europe, Japan, and other, and even China. And if Trump starts trade wars, all that's going to do is create uncertainty, and uncertainty, people hold back. They hold back on business investment. They don't know where they stand. And so you start to go down in a spiral. Look, and that's the issue. But America itself is fine.
We don't know the ultimate outcome of 10 years of effectively zero interest rates because we've never seen it. Now, do things just normalize and you carry on as per normal, or do we go into some sort of disinflationary, low growth, low inflation, Japan scenario? We actually don't know the outcome. We know that zero interest rates saved the world in 2008, and we know it was fantastic for the recovery of the economies and the rising of the stock market. But we actually don't know what the future holds for us. It's probably not massively positive, but also I can't see it being hugely negative. So in my view, the only thing that can push us into a global recession is Trump and trade wars.
I mean, there is actually a question just saying, like, and it's very basic, and I don't want to spend too much time on, but saying, why do some countries have negative interest rates? So maybe just in a nutshell.
We were talking about it before we went on air. Investors would rather have their money in a negative interest rate than anywhere else. And why? They're not likely to last or put it there forever. But what it does suggest, or when you go on for a long period with a negative interest, what they're saying is that after that period, let's say it's 5 years or 10 years, the money that I will have will actually buy me more than it is today.
Even though it's negative return, you'll get deflation.
When Wayne mentioned the Japanese scenario,
that's exactly what happened. Now, of course, falling inflation, disinflation, or negative interest rates is not death for capitalism, but it's a very strong poison. Mm. Because debt doesn't deflate. Understand?
Yeah.
Debt doesn't deflate.
I mean, debt is still there.
Debt is constant.
You have to pay it.
You've got to pay it. The nominal doesn't fall.
That's why debt's very good in rising inflation.
That's why
you pay less.
Yeah, that's why you've got to have some inflation, because it devalues the value of debt over time.
Okay.
So deflation... is actually, look at Japan.
That's the issue. Yeah. I mean, that's the point, is that what it does suggest and why people are worried about recession is it means that people believe by going into negative interest rates they will have more money or more spending power in 5 years than they have now.
Even though they've got a negative return.
Okay, two last things, because I don't want to spend too much time on this topic and there's lots of questions. There were two pieces of news, though, that made me pause today, and it was the German government issued a 30-year bond at negative rates, and it wasn't well subscribed. And so how do you square that with this incredible rush into these longer dated government bonds, which have where everyone has done so well in? So it's the primary and the secondary market.
It's not a 5-year bond or a 10-year or 2-year bond. It's a long bond.
Seriously long.
If
deflation hangs for 30 years, if deflation comes here and it's around for 30 years, you know, it's not good, eh?
We won't be here.
It's not good. Well, we will definitely not be here.
I'm not going to be here 30 years' time.
Yeah. Well, someone says, guys, negative interest rates are simply the price you pay for safety.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Which get Neil
onto it's the implication of what it actually implies. Negative interest tells you something's wrong.
All right. As a pensioner with spare cash, where would you invest money for the next 5 years? Unit trusts, fixed deposit, money market, or any other choice? In this era of negative interest rates and
the danger is and disinflation. As a pensioner, that's always an issue. But I'm an equity man, and I always believe that the creative spirit is still there, that people still generate, and you know, I've still got lots of ideas of where one could put money. But I think from a safety point of view at the moment, I think a lot of people are going into bonds, local bonds.
Well, local bonds give you a nice fat return, you know, 8.5. Inflation's 4. Serious return, eh?
Yeah.
It's a serious real return.
You might not be paying a high level of tax as well. So
yeah.
It depends. Depends.
And also, you don't get the same kind of shocks that you seem to get daily on the JSE. I mean, David, on his Twitter account, has the disaster of the day.
I have yesterday's the shock of the day. And every day I seem to have another shock.
Well, there wasn't a shock today, luckily.
No, iron ore price.
The shock is well, I have to say, viewers of the show would have known that we said iron ore price was unsustainably high. So we weren't particularly surprised.
What shocked me when I seriously say, if I look at August, there were a number of companies, I only chose 8 because that's all I could fit on my tweet. There were 10, 15 odd companies that have lost more than 20%
of their capital
in August. And that gives an idea of what we've gone through this August. So when you say shock of the day, it's like, phew. Anyway,
Just talking about the iron ore price on Kumba, I'd like to know from David and Wayne, Kumba's broken below 400 Rand. Are we likely to go up, or is it a steep downward trajectory from here?
Look, the overall macroeconomic situation is not supportive of a high iron ore price. So I think the iron ore price can still fall a little bit. It's not going to go to 40, I hope. But it can easily go to 60, 65, easily.
Which is probably a kind of natural
I would think so, for what that's worth. And if that is the case, the Kumba share price will probably come under more pressure.
I think Billiton's... So I
don't think I would buy it now, to be honest.
Andrew McKenzie, you know, talking to the press yesterday and just after Billiton's results, you know, he was quite, not negative, realistic. You know, the price shot up from, because of the Vale issue and also because of weather problems that they had in Australia. They couldn't get shipments going through. So there was a shortage of what they call seaborne iron ore. And the price went up to 120, and it's just correcting. Mm. So it'll stabilize exactly there. It's still a healthy price.
Yeah, they're still making a fortune.
Look at, you Kumba's know, a saw came out of the trading update today.
Yeah.
And it did say, I think there was one of the metals.
Manganese alloy didn't do well.
Yeah, didn't do so well.
Chrome and manganese is flat. Chrome is down a bit.
You know, they're going to make
doing brilliantly.
6 billion rand in headline earnings, which is an increase of 20% for the full year. Companies are making money and they'll pay out fat dividends, but that's, I guess, in the price already. Sticking with resources, can the panel please explain the phenomenal rise in rhodium, the increase of silver, and it looks like palladium is once again on the rise. What's their opinion going forward on the above?
I can't comment on silver or rhodium. Palladium, there's this whole diesel scandal, and at the moment palladium is used in petrol, whereas platinum is used in diesel catalysts by and large. So, but understand they are interchangeable, not 100%. And if this price differential continues, over time the manufacturers will start using less palladium and more platinum. So it will eventually arbitrage out this big price difference.
Yeah. Silver has always been an American hedge. For some reason, the same as they buy gold, they buy silver as well. So it's really confined to U.S. markets. It's those old-time gold bulls are also those old-time silver bulls.
Not really a South African phenomenon.
Not at all.
Well, talking about gold bulls, you had Mark Mobius saying, buy gold because money supply is going up and you should therefore buy gold.
Money supplies that, be going up
been
for
about
a
20 years.
If you believe that theory, you would have bought gold head over heels when they did quantitative easing and zero interest rates, because there was proper money supply growth there. Money supply growth now is a baby in comparison to that money supply growth.
And gold did nothing.
Gold did nothing.
So, I don't know. Maybe
for what it's worth, I wouldn't buy gold because we worried about a deflationary environment. It's just not good for gold, in my view.
Yeah. Okay. Should I sell my Barla Worlds and PSGs and go short? Okay. I don't know what you would go short of. What?
Probably those two.
Both of them. Sell them and then short them.
I think the Barla's I'm trying to think. I've got to get my head around Barla's because it's really, they're doing fairly well, in Siberia. They've closed their plants in Spain.
In Spain.
And I think they're doing okay here with mining and that. But is that Barla World?
Mm. Yeah, but look at the
scale.
It's
that's probably the logistics sides and the motor side.
We'll bring
and
up a slightly longer term graph of Barla World. Look, it hasn't.
What has shot the lights out in the last 2 months?
I was trying to think about that. The platinums and the gold shares.
Been nothing to attract us there. Put it that way. You know, there's nothing there that makes it a glaring buy. And I think even from the mining side, I think it's been very moderate.
Look, they've held up actually quite well. You look at their results; they've actually been reasonably good. They've held up quite well for a company that still has a large South African exposure.
And I think they sell yellow metal, which is Caterpillar. Yes. Yeah. And it's the servicing of that gives them a very strong cash flow. But I've got
lots of industries in South Africa and sectors are obviously under severe strain. The mining sector ain't. Mm. They're printing money hand over fist. Mm. So the demand should be okay for what they're selling in South Africa.
What about PSG, particularly if you think...
It's Capitec.
Capitec, and you've got Curo, this new debt law that's come into
effect.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Look, Stadio's results weren't bad, but it is Capitec. Yeah. Look, we've had a deep look at this new bill. It's credit retailers that are primarily affected here. The banks, including the big banks, are virtually unaffected by this. I mean, virtually unaffected. Mm. Capitec is affected more than the big banks. But
although, as we saw from that release, that they've said they've provisioned, they've worked around this, they were
marginal.
Expecting this.
Yeah. But it's almost insignificant in Capitec's life. The credit retailers, very different story.
Health.
Very different. But the big banks have got nothing to fear with this new bill at all.
Mm. But that was an awful chart. I mean,
PSG. Taking pain, eh?
But I think they took a lot of pain in Cura, and they've taken a lot of pain in Stadio. Not the underlying company results, but largely the share price, which has come down.
Well, Cura's results were just not good. I mean, when you waded through a million accounting changes, which is driving me to drink, honestly. The underlying earnings were up single digits in Cura. Where Stadio, the earnings are actually not bad.
Yeah. I mean, we'll leave it there for the moment. Although that longer term chart doesn't, it doesn't look as catastrophic as it might feel from the last couple of months in a share like PSG.
Capitec's done actually relatively well, and hence gives it that underlying support. But I think that appeal that it had, you know, when Yanni Mouton started years ago is kind of gone, you know, because you can go buy the individual components yourself without getting into trouble.
Yeah. Okay, we'll leave it there for the moment. If you'd like to send questions, please do SMS us, email us, or tweet us, and we'll be back shortly. Welcome back. Let's have a look at what's happening to US markets at the moment. We've got the S&P 500 up 0.8%, the Nasdaq up 0.9%, and the Dow Jones trading just over 1% to the good. So things look pretty fresh over there. Who knows what Donald will bring us tomorrow. And European markets doing very well today, especially the French market and the FTSE 100 up 1.1%. Still with me in studio are David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. I must just mention Donald Trump's tweet of a couple of hours ago saying, going great with China and other trade deals. The only problem we have is Jay Powell and the Fed.
Yeah.
He's like a golfer who can't putt. has no touch. Big US growth if he does the right thing. Big cut. But don't count on him. So far, he has called it wrong and only let us down. I mean, this is extraordinary stuff. Can you imagine Cyril Ramaphosa doing this about the
session? It's extraordinary. You're attacking your own institution. But look, we know why he's doing it. It's out of interest. If something does go wrong, he's got someone to blame. So you never blame trade wars if something does go wrong.
You blame the Fed.
You blame someone else. He just happens to pick on the Fed. Or the media.
Now, because if they do reduce interest rates because of
victory.
What... And Jay Powell will have to concede. It's Jackson Hole, I think, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And he's going to speak. I don't know what he's going to say. He might give a technical speech, which no one's interested in, but everybody's holding their breath
to
find out
what
he's going
to say. He'll probably cut interest rates, but only because of the effect that trade wars is having on the economy. You know, one thing, he's not going to listen to what President Trump wants him to do.
Do you think so?
Trump appointed him.
I know.
I mean,
it's an unfair situation.
But there's one consolation for the chairman. It's not the only guy Donald's attacked.
Yes, that's just about everyone. Wayne mentioned that bonds at 8.5% give a great return over inflation at 4%, but this coupon is fixed.
Yes.
So if inflation runs to, say, 15%, which we've seen before, what happens to your bond?
You get slaughtered. Mm-hmm. That's a call you make.
In a nutshell. Do you expect inflation?
I think rates will also go up, which means the capital value of your bond will go down.
We would have to have a sustained period of extremely poor macroeconomic management in South Africa, starting from the state president to the governor to the finance minister to parliament, for a sustained period for that to happen. So it could, I mean, who knows? But we're a long way from inflation going to 15, as things stand.
It was 4% today, which is a good number.
That
was
very low.
I think mainly on the petrol price, but electricity went up 10% and had no impact. So.
Look, I mean, David and I remember the inflation years incredibly well. And in the mid to late 90s, it was inconceivable for inflation to go single digit, let alone 3%. It was outside of your perception of reality. If you were bullish, I can still remember once, just pure coincidentally, I called 10, the bond rates were 15, 16. I called 1066 because that was Battle of Hastings. And the number just 1066. And I was virtually laughed out of the room for being so bullish. You know, so I don't think we're going back to 15 in a hurry.
But it was consistently 10 or 12. And it wiped out a generation of savers.
Yeah, totally.
Those people who had saved in the 1950s and 60s, even those who were paid out in the 69 boom and sold their companies and took cash instead of shares or equity, because it wasn't an equity culture. That inflation took their savings out.
Hmm. Yeah.
You weren't even around.
I was around, sort of. ShopRite, the technicals show a price of 100 Rand. Why does the stock trade at a 15p if the earnings are negative? On ShopRite today, interesting to note that there was a recovery in the market, but ShopRite was down another 1%. So now it's down 10% over two days.
Do you believe in ShopRite and what they're doing, and it will survive this? Because remember, these big negatives, they are because of decisions they've made and because of mistakes they made. So they are, let's call it, the company's fault. Because they went into Angola, they went into Africa, their employees went on strike, they had stock outages. But is this normal for ShopRite? Wouldn't think so. Mm. Seems to be a whole bunch of stuff that just happened at the same time that's negative. And it's shown itself to be very resilient over donkey's years. And this is the cheapest rating it's been in 10 years. Mm. And it's of the cheapest it's ever been. So if you believe there's some future, the share doesn't look bad. But you've got to believe there's a future. If you think it's going to happen every year.
My only counter argument is we've seen it where management does silly things. We've seen it in Pick and Pay. We've seen it in Massmart. We've seen it. ShopRite had Whitey Besson at one stage. And the worry is whether Peter Engelbrecht can actually do what Whitey did and also turn this around. I don't know him well enough.
To some extent, you could argue that Whitey had this sustained boom years.
Yeah.
You know,
well, no, White Hugh was
it's unfair White what Hugh I'm was saying on Peter, but I think after he did, after he gave the presentation, there seemed to be a little bit of hesitancy about his about the outlook and whether or not he could actually turn it around.
Now, look,
I'm not. I'm not. I don't want to.
White Hugh was good, but he went into Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, management inherited this.
And for a long time, it paid off. I mean, there were years where it was phenomenal. I remember the one ShopRite results presentation where they talked about all the champagne they were selling in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Now,
is this current management's fault that Angola had hyperinflation?
But management does, you know, if you look at David Neal at Clicks, you look at Richard Brashenow at Pick and Pay, we looked at what Whitey did. So I think management.
Some people are exceptional.
So management's important.
But at this price,
you could get, you know,
you could get
you or me running.
Shapiro or myself to go run it.
Fashini, would you put it on the watch list for a buy? So we were talking about credit retailers being negative, being more negatively affected by this.
Fashini is the best of that whole bunch.
Yeah, they seem to be ahead of everybody.
Fashini is the best of the whole lot. Yeah.
When you say the best of the whole lot, do you mean just the way they
management,
run the business?
The way they run their business, the way they run their book.
It's funny how Fashini has taken the mantle from Truworths, which were for a very long time was regarded as the preeminent fashion retailer, but it seems to have lost its crown.
Look, to be honest, over time, I'm not sure if I want to ever invest in any fashion thing. It's just too risky.
Yeah.
Things can change. You know, one company would look like an absolute winner and they get fashion wrong the 1 year and they're out. And someone else takes over and it's intensely competitive. It's just a very risky industry to be in. You know what I mean? And I don't know, as the years go by.
As Woolworths will attest to.
Yeah. Fashion and homeware and also primary food producers, chicken producers. It's just too competitive. The guys just, no matter how good you are, maybe the whole market and it's just so risky.
So you would avoid them?
I think I'd just avoid. Look, if you buy them right, if you buy them at the absolute sort of bargain basement prices, they can recover sharply. But longer term, I'm not sure if they warrant investment in longer term.
What about Amplats? Just moving on from, I'm jumping around here rather. Is Amplats not a good short at the current 850 Rand level, considering that it's a single commodity?
I think it's run ahead. It looks like it's run ahead of itself.
I think they've run ahead, I wouldn't know how short it, but I think they have run ahead.
You know, I think they've done incredibly well, and credit to management for turning it around doing well.
The other companies, Sibanye, Lonro, they just rode in the tail of the palladium price running. Amplats went in and made structural adjustments. Was it 5 years ago to actually get the business right?
I mean, Amplats took some very bitter medicine.
Oh, it was tough.
They ran, you know, they. I don't know if you recall how the government came down like a septic tank on their heads.
Yeah, and they were retrenching people.
But the results have shown.
If the palladium price falls back to the platinum price, then the other companies are going to have to do the same thing as well. But they're obviously shielded by the higher prices at the moment.
And then a very quick question. When I receive my Prosus shares, which are the Naspers Nuco, do I lose my existing Naspers shares?
No.
They go down, they fall in value by theoretically the price of the Prosus listing, whatever it trades at. So if it trades at, simplistically, if you had a share with 100 Rand and another part of it is listed and that trades at 30 Rand on a one-for-one share, your share will fall from 100 to 70.
Okay.
And but you're still adding together.
You've got to pay the tax on the 30.
Pay the tax on the 30.
But at some point, the tax will come due.
We've had long discussions about this.
Right. Getting to your stock picks this evening, because after a hiatus, you both have shares to buy. David, you've been doing
I've been looking at luxury goods, luxury companies as well. And Estee Lauder came out with numbers, which was staggering. And why I bring it up is that there's been criticism about the slowdown in China. And there's no sense that the Chinese are not buying luxury, whether it's LVMH, whether it's Ferrari, whether it's Estee Lauder. Wherever we look, there's been an incredible amount of... And what's very interesting about them, their beauty products, has been the online sales in China. I'm trying to
condense it, but
I think it's... you know, looking at analysts who cover it as well, they're very, very bullish on this company.
I mean, and Estee Lauder is a huge amount of brands now. It's not just Estee Lauder, the ones, kind of the flagship brand.
It was Mac, Le Mer, Those were the big ones. Estee Lauder, Bobby Brown, Joe Malone, all of those. And it somehow it appeals to the emerging young middle class people who've got lots of money.
I think it appeals to everyone, actually, because they're kind of across the range.
Very, very good results out within the week.
And wasn't it Mr. Lauder who coined the lipstick effect?
It was her.
Or Estee herself.
Estee herself,
Right.
Yeah, okay, well, might as well have the courage of your convictions. It just feels like 2015 to me in the Sasol share price. It just feels like it.
And they rallied today after coming out with that little sense statement. Yeah,
well, that added no value whatsoever, to be honest.
I mean, just on this...
Just put in a long-term chart, it just smells like 2014, 2015 to me.
So do you think, because, I mean, my colleague Lisa Stain wrote a very nice Sasol story for the Financial Mail this week, just talking about Lake Charles and how there's a, and I think, Wayne, you've mentioned it before, there's all these ethane crackers going up in the same sort of area. Mm. There's this Korean company that built their plant on budget,
$3
billion.
No. I mean,
and
money,
it's producing already.
Money has seriously been wasted, seriously. But is that in the share price? Mm. I mean, literally, they could... abandon Lake Charles. They could just walk away. Secunda's worth more than the current share price.
They've got debt there. That's the only problem.
Yeah, but I mean, they could literally just abandon it. Just say, the debt, you guys take it. Yeah. There's the plant. Cheers.
Okay.
Share price will go up.
All right.
Still got to work out what they use polyethylene for, but anyway.
crackers. David Wayne, thank you very much for joining us this evening. David Shapiro from Sasson Securities, Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments, and we'll be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night at 7:30. Have a good evening. Getting to your stock picks this evening, because after a hiatus, you both have shares to buy. David, you've been doing
I've been looking at luxury goods, luxury companies as well. And Estee Lauder came out with numbers, which was staggering. And why I bring it up is that there's been criticism about the slowdown in China. And there's no sense that the Chinese are not buying luxury, whether it's LVMH, whether it's Ferrari, whether it's Estee Lauder, wherever we look. There's been an incredible amount of, and what's very interesting about them, their beauty products, has been the online sales in China. I'm trying to
condense it,
but I think it's, looking at analysts who cover it as well, they're very, very bullish on this company.
I mean, and Estee Lauder is a huge amount of brands now. It's not just Estee Lauder, the flagship brand.
It was MAC, La Mer, those were the big ones. Estee Lauder, Bobby Brown, Joe Malone, all of those. And it somehow it appeals to the emerging young middle class people who've got lots of money.
I think it appeals to everyone, actually, because they're kind of across the range.
Very, very good results out within the week.
And wasn't it Mr. Lauder who coined the lipstick effect?
It was her.
Or Estee herself.
Estee herself,
Right.
Yeah, Wayne. Okay, well, might as well have the courage of your convictions. It just feels like 2015 to me in the Sasol share price. It just feels like it.
And they rallied today after coming out with that little sense statement. Yeah,
well, that added no value whatsoever, to be honest.
I mean, just on this...
Just put in a long-term chart, it just smells like 2014, 2015 to me.
So do you think, because, I mean, my colleague Lisa Stain wrote a very nice Sasol story for the Financial Mail this week, just talking about Lake Charles and how there's a, and I think, Wayne, you've mentioned it before, there's all these ethane crackers going up in the same sort of area. Mm. There's this Korean company that built their plant on budget, $3 billion.
No. I mean,
and
money,
it's producing already.
Money has seriously been wasted, seriously.
But
is that in the share price? Mm. I mean, literally, they could... abandon Lake Charles. They could just walk away. Secunda's worth more than the current share price.
They've got debt there. That's the only problem.
Yeah, but I mean, they could literally just abandon it. Just say, the debt, you guys take it. Yeah. There's the plant. Cheers.
Okay.
Share price will go up.
All right.
Still got to work out what they use polyethylene for, but anyway.
crackers. David Wayne, thank you very much for joining us this evening. David Shapiro from Sasson Securities, Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments, and we'll be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night at 7:30. Have a good evening.